Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, I'm Johnny Owen, and this is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport. Mark Webster and I ask our guests 11 questions all about their love of football, from their earliest memories of the game to how their matchday rituals have changed over the years. And at the end, they'll tell us their Best 11, a team made up of anyone who's ever played for their club, along with a manager of their choice. Will they go for players they've seen in the flesh, or will they rely on reputation? Let's find out. Our guest today broke through with an unbelievable performance in one of the films of the decade, This Is England. He was cast from his hometown of Grimsby with a promise of £5 to return to the auditions. He was just 12 years old. It is, of course, the brilliant Thomas Turgoos. Thomas, welcome to your Best 11. Can you start by telling us who you support and why?
My team is Grimsby Town, and at the minute, Johnny, I've been asking myself that same question. Like, it is by far the most frustrating time as a Grimsby Town fan, personally. And me and my dad, we spend hours on the phone after every game, and we're just like, it's just such a bizarre time at the moment, and no one's really clear what's going on. And but, you know, I suppose that's what a fan is. You stick with your team through the good and you stick with your team through the bad. So, I mean, when I was a kid, before I really understood what football was, I was the kid who wore the Man United shirts.
Right.
There is plenty of photos of me going around on the internet wearing Manchester United shirts. But that was very much because my eldest brother, Carl, he still is a Man United fan for some reason, God knows why. But I just liked the strips when I was a kid, and I didn't really understand football. And then I moved in with my dad when I was 13. And he said, the first thing we're doing is I'm going to take you to a Grimsby Town game. And that was when we was in League Two.
Right.
So from then on, I just fell in love. I just fell in love with the game. And I understood the game more, and I understood what it meant to people being at Blundell Park. And yeah, just ever since then, I just sort of swapped out the Man United shirts for the Grimsby Town ones, and I just fell in love with the club and just everything about it. You know, over the years, I've gotten to know a lot of the people who work behind the closed doors. And yeah, it's just such a beautifully ran club. And yeah, just at the moment, it's difficult.
So you dropped the international brand of Manchester United and went for the hometown team. Were you a player though, Tom? Did you like to kick a ball around as a kid?
I loved it. It's all I did. It's all I ever did. You know, there was me, my friend Tom Ensby and Jake Miller, and all the young lads who I'm still friends with now, and Ben Drinkle and all these guys. We used to play football on the street corners for, you know, until the sun went down and it got dark and the streetlights came on. And yeah, and still, you know, even now, I still play 3-4 times a week. So, you know, I play as much as I can. And it, you know, as you get older, it's sort of disguised fitness, isn't it? So, you know, you're burning all the calories, but you're also having fun and really enjoying it. So, yeah, I've always been a huge fan of football, and I'll be playing it until my body won't allow me to do it anymore.
What position do you play, Tom? Yeah. Were you like a striker or a midfielder?
I used to play right mid, Johnny. But
did you?
But then I turned 18 and I started drinking and you know, smoking cigarettes. And
so you weren't in the engine room anymore, were you?
running down the wings is, that's tough. But yeah, normally up front now, but I've just signed for a Sunday league team at the moment, obviously, because I know there's not going to be much work going on. So it's something that I've really wanted to do for years, but just never had the time to do it. So I'm a Sunday league player now.
What's the name of your team?
The Cromwell. I played for Crummy Seconds, the Cromwell Club in Grimsby. Yeah, it's a great bunch of lads. I've known them all for years, and I usually go down and watch them on a Sunday morning. So, yeah, I've swapped me Sunday morning wellies for me Sunday morning boots and shin pads, and now I basically just sit on the bench for 90 minutes, lads. I won't lie, but it's just being part of it, you know, putting the kit on, the banter.
It's a lovely thing, actually, because I was lucky enough to go to Tomo's wedding a few years back, which was on New Year's Eve. And very much like he said...
Second anniversary,
well, amazing, isn't it? And he's one of those lovely people. He's got all the same group of mates he's had since he was a small boy. And we're in a lively bunch, as you'd imagine, from working class Grimsby. And I can remember leaving the reception, and it was a beautiful place he had. It was like a converted barn or something. It was gorgeous he'd done, and there was a giant wooden beam right in the middle of where the dance floor had been. And as I'm leaving, I'd had enough at this point. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I looked up, and about three of his mates had climbed onto the beam and were hanging. It was a beautiful sight. And I just thought, there's a lad who will still be mates with them lads when he's in his 50s and 60s, hopefully. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I could probably name the three that you're on about that are swinging from the beams. But yeah, like you see them firsthand, Johnny, you know, they're the greatest good bunch of lads ever. And and again, like, we've got such a passion for football, all of us, you know. It's and the banter, you know, when Man United are losing or when Liverpool are losing, just the banter that goes on in the group chat. And it's just, I mean, football's good for so many reasons, man. It brings people together, and yeah, it's... It's really interesting, actually, because I host my own podcast, and the other host, Andy Ellis, he said to me, it's called Overrated Everything. So basically we get a guest on to discuss an overrated subject. And Andy Ellis said that football was overrated.
What?
And I thought, I don't understand that, because the amount of revenue it creates, the amount of jobs, and it brings people together. Yeah. Again, football really, really, the relationship that I've got with my dad is solely due to football. You know, on a Saturday morning, we used to go to the football, you know, and it's such a beautiful game, and it brings people together, and, you know, there's so much more to it than meets the eye, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree. And also, me and Mark wouldn't have a job, would we, Mark?
Exactly. we might do, but we sit there in silence for 2 hours because there's nothing to talk about, which would be slightly weird.
I was going to ask you, Tom, do you remember what your earliest memory of football was? Was it like a major tournament? Was it like an England game? Do you remember that?
My earliest memories of football is when I was playing a lot when I was a kid on the street corners.
Yeah.
Because I'll never forget this, because my friend Tom Hensby, for some reason, he thought that he created the nutmeg. He thought that was his trick.
He thinks he invented the nutmeg, yes?
Yeah, so when this is when we was kids, obviously, so we must have been 9 or 10 years old. And whenever he used to nutmeg him, he used to kick off. He's going, "You're not allowed to nutmeg me." And I'll never forget
it. I invented the nutmeg so you can't nutmeg me.
Because he created the trick, and you're not allowed to use his own tricks against him. And I remember thinking, Tom, this is obscene. Like, Cristiano Ronaldo didn't get it from you. You didn't get it.
It's just the idea Ronaldo's driving, brilliant, happens to be driving past that street corner.
Yeah. Like,
God, what did that kid just do?
Kid on the street corner, put the ball through someone's legs. I'm going to do that on the right wing at Old Trafford on Sunday morning. Yeah, it's...
brilliant.
Yeah, it's just fun little early memories like that. And, you know, we used to get the ball and aim for the posts, for the lamp posts and things like that. They could say, yeah, just very, very, it's just beautiful memories, man. Beautiful, beautiful memories.
Was Grimsby the first game that you would have gone to then as well?
No, it wasn't. No. So my first ever professional football game I went to was that it was a Man United game against Newcastle in 2005, I think it was. I think it was when Rooney scored, you know, the wonder volley that he scored.
Yes.
Because Joe Hartley, who played my mum in This Is England, yes, she promised me she'd take me to a Man United game.
She's a big City fan, isn't she?
She's a City fan. She is. So you know, she sort of put all that behind her for the afternoon and took me to Old Trafford. And I just remember thinking, because it's called the Theatre of Dreams, because it's a beautiful place. I mean, even if you're a City fan or you're a Liverpool fan, Old Trafford it's a tourist. It's like a museum. It's amazing. And I'll never forget that, the buzz of the afternoon, and, you know, buying my half and half scarf at the game and getting my program. And yeah, man. So that was my first ever professional game that I went to. God, I really sound like a Man United fan, don't I?
Really, very much.
It's all right. Listen, you know what I mean? It's like the early glamour turned your head, and then your dad. Tell him. Do you remember the first Grimsby game you went to with your dad? You said you went with your dad, didn't you?
Yeah, I do. And I can't remember it was. I think it might have been Morecambe actually, who they beat us last night as well. But yeah, I think it was Morecambe, and we sat with my grandma. Bless her. She passed away now. But she had a season ticket at Blundell Park for, I think, well over 30 or 40 years. And she sat in the same seat.
Good for her.
I never thought about going with her. And then me and my dad went and we won that game. I can't remember the score. It was so long ago. But I remember walking out of that, out of the ground, and all the fans were singing. And it was just like, it completely changed the way that I looked at football going to Blundell Park. Because, you know, you watch all these games on TV, you know, the Man United games, and the pace of the game is just insane. And then you watch League Two, and it's just a totally different feel. And that you can hear the players' passion screaming for their headers, and, you know, you can hear them shouting "man on" and things like that. And you don't really get that when you go to these big places. So, yeah, I just fell in love straight away with Blundell Park and sort of the buzz around the ground on a Saturday morning.
Now let's see if this is going to test his Manchester United allegiance a little bit more. Your favourite player, Tom, as a kid?
Well, again, as a kid, it probably would have been Wayne Rooney.
Right.
This is before going to Blundell Park. But I always remember just Rooney, because he was the kid from the streets, and he had that show as well. Was it Wayne Rooney Street Soccer?
Yeah, Street Soccer. Something, wasn't it? Yeah,
yeah, Street Soccer Striker, where, you know, and he was creating these games for these kids to play where you'd kick the ball through the rolling tyre and things. And I just remember thinking, God, I want to be Rooney. I want to be Wayne Rooney, because he's this big, hard lad who's just sort of passionate. And so it probably would have been Wayne Rooney. But as I got a bit older and I really fell in love with Grimsby Town, I mean, this will take me on to the next questions, but Craig Disley, who was our captain for a long time, he was the ginger Pirlo for us. He played in centre mid, and he just absolutely controlled the game. He settled everything down, and just his vision and his passion for the club. And I remember when I met him for the first time, I did Grimsby Town asked me to do a photo shoot, and it was with James McEwen, who's our captain now. And Craig Disley. And I remember like being sat with them at Blundell Park, and I lost my rag. I just didn't know what to say to him. I was like, and it's funny because, you know, I've been at premieres with Johnny Depp, and I've met Matt Damon and all these, Noel Gallagher and all these people. And that one wasn't really fussed by it. But when I met Craig Disley, honestly, I was so starstruck. And then he progressed to be a good friend of mine. Oh. And it's still strange now. Like whenever I see his name pop up on my phone, I'm just a bit like, oh my God, Disley's like messaging me. I guess that's just the passion that I've got for the club. And it was, you know, because of that generation of players, Craig Disley and Sean Pearson and, you know, Omar Bogle and these players, they've really helped me fall in love with the club. So I've got them to thank for that. Craig Disley, obviously, as a football fan, but, you know, as an icon, I think Wayne Rooney was probably my favourite player when I was a kid.
Oh, that's brilliant. There's a really famous player for Merthyr in the late 80s. His name was Kevin Rogers. He scored the goal against Atalanta in the European Cup and his cup. And he was my favourite player as a kid. And a similar thing, I've got to know him quite well now. And I sometimes meet him for a pint when I'm back in Merthyr when the pubs are open, obviously. And when my father was still alive then, and I remember I was in the house, I was going, I've got to go. And my father was going, I've got to go. And he's going, what's something? I'm going to meet Kevin Rogers. And he went, oh, fair enough. Then off go. It was like, he was like, oh, that's
he
fair enough.
Yeah, that's all right.
And he's like, do you know him now? I'm like, yeah, I know him. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. They are the hero that you relate most to, Tom, don't they?
Honestly, the Grimsby Town players are the only people that make me starstruck, and soap and soap stars. Like I met Bruce Jones, who played Les Battersby in Coro, and because he's in your front room 3-4 times a week, he's just like, soap stars really like they make me a bit starstruck as well.
They're really nice. The Coronation Street cast. They really. Do you know when we were at the BAFTAs that time with I think this is England. It was 88 was up, wasn't it? And you were all there. And I remember the cast of Coronation Street were all standing. It was all the cast. It was like, you know,
it's mental.
Gail is standing there. What's the name? Roach, who played Ken Barlow. And yeah. Vicky went over and went, are we going to go and say hello? And I was like, all right. And I went over and we went, hiya. And they were all so nice. Hi, everyone. How's you doing?
Amazing.
And I thought myself, yeah, they're like their own little tribe, aren't they? The soap people.
Such a close little thing.
Yeah.
James Burrows, I think you know James Burrows, don't you, Johnny?
Yeah.
He played Dr. Ali in Coronation Street for a couple of years. He's just left, but he's a really good friend of mine, and he was working, obviously, in Manchester at the same time as me. And he used to say to me, oh, do you want to come meet me for a pint? And I'd be like, yeah. And I remember I met him for a pint, and the guy who played, you'll have to forgive me if he's listening, the guy who plays Peter Barlow was there.
Yeah.
And obviously Peter Barlow, his character's, he's in recovery, he doesn't drink. And I'm sat in this pub and I'm having a pint and I almost want to say to him, like, put the beer down.
life and art getting all confused in your head. So,
would you do a soap?
Would you like to do an Emmerdale or something like that?
I don't think so. Not yet. I did audition for Coronation Street when I was very young to play, the young lady from Hearsay? Kim Marsh,
yeah.
So Kip to play her son Ryan. So this was going back a very, very long time, and I don't think I'd do it now. But I don't know. I'd love to be in that tribe. I'd love to be in that family just for a little bit. But I wouldn't not be able to call Gail Platt Gail, or I would, you know, David Platt. I would be calling them by the characters' names, and I guess they'd probably get annoyed with me because. Nothing annoys me more when people shout Sean down the street. And I'm like...
Well, you look at the classic example of Danny Dyer. Danny Dyer had a perfectly good career, and then ends up in EastEnders, and it's a whole new world for him. And he didn't know what hit him, really. And you look at the...
But he's great in EastEnders. I think it suits him so well. I remember when he came into it, and I was like, I don't get it. But then... I like what he's doing. He's putting his own little spin on it as well. He's made Mick Carter a West Ham fan, hasn't he? And he's got a shirt on that says Carter. And then I think it was 79 or 73. And I said to Charlotte, I went, I bet that's the year Danny Dyer's born. What that number on that shirt? And Googled it. And lo and behold, the year that Danny Dyer was born is on the back of that West Ham shirt.
Nice.
Mick Carter.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's just these little things that, you know, I think Danny Dyer, He must own the square. He's Danny Dyer. Do you know what I mean? But this has all got very soapy, gentlemen.
No, it's good. It's good. He's another nice lad as well when you meet him, Danny Dyer. So I was going to ask you, Tomo, quickly, your matchday rituals when you used to go with your dad and what it's like going now since you've got to know them at the club.
So matchday rituals, when I was a kid, it was always, you know, we'd get fish and chips.
Of course you would. Grimsby, best fish and chips in the country, apparently.
It's almost law, isn't it, I should think.
I think you've got to, yeah. So we'd go in, and because Grimsby's quite a small place, I remember walking through the pontoon stand with my dad, because my dad works on a big oil refinery around here, so he knows everyone. So you'd be walking through, and it'd take you 20 minutes to get to the other end of the stand, because everyone's like, all right, there go, he's all going. So like, I always remember just sort of like being like, oh, come on, Dad, you know, just everyone wants to talk to you. So we'd have our fish and chips. We'd take our 30-minute walk through the stand to get to our seats because my dad knows so many people. You know, 9 in 10 times we'd watch Grimsby Town lose, and then I'd go home. But now, as an adult, we go for a couple of pints in the Blundell Hotel.
Nice.
And then we'll go to the little bar, which is under the main stand now. We'll have a couple of pints in there. We'll watch the game and. You know, result dependent. You know, if we get a nice little win against Scunthorpe, which we just have recently, you know, then that can lead on to it. Well, that can last for days. That kind of stuff. Yeah, but I guess it's all like result dependent. But
so, okay, have a different. I had this as well. I used to, particularly when I lived near West Ham, I would text home and say, put the kettle on. And that meant my missus knew that we'd lost.
I can't stay out really after the loss.
But if you win, I'm going in the pub for a little while.
You're going for a few beers. I got a great quick story about Tomo with Scunthorpe. He was doing some rehearsals for one of the This Is England's, and I was up in Sheffield. I was having a bit of food after, and he was chatting to me. And they'd just he was reminiscing about a Grimsby game where they'd beaten Scunthorpe, and they were all singing to Brian Laws, I think was the Scunthorpe manager, sacked in the morning.
Getting sacked in the morning.
He sang that in the pub. He was telling me in this restaurant, he was going, Johnny, it was the best atmosphere I've ever been in. The whole Grimsby stand was singing this thing. I always remember your eyes were like lit up with telling me the story.
Honestly, it's so beautiful. I remember it like it was yesterday. We beat him 3-1 at Glanford Park. I think it was in the Johnson's Paint. I think it was Johnson's Paint Trophy. Oh my God. Oh, what a memory. Oh, just, there's no better feeling. I mean, we've done the double over him now. So we've last two times we've played and we've beat him. So it's such a good feeling. But I mean, I think we're going down, lads.
I hope not.
I think we're going down and they're above us in the league. And yeah, but you know, you can sit and you smile about all the great memories and it can't all be great. So you've just got to kind of suck it up and get on with it, and yeah, that's all you can do.
That's a great way of looking.
Very good point.
So, have you got a favourite piece of memorabilia or a memento, something like a scarf or a badge? Have you? Good lad.
I have, and I got it out because I thought that we was going to be doing this on video, so you won't be able to see it. But basically, going back to Craig Disley, our captain, he when he left the club and retired, he had a testimonial, and he rang me and said, "Tomo, do you want to play?" And I was like, "What? Yeah, obviously." So I went and I was playing with all the Grimsby Town legends, and I in the changing room it was like Disley, Pearson, Cal Magne, Turgoose, number 10. I was like, "What is going on here?" So I've got that shirt, but there's a funny story actually, because what they did is they put the shirts on eBay for the fans to be able to buy them. And Lloyd Griffith, who's a friend of TalkSport, I believe, he's a good friend of mine. He's a comedian.
Great goalkeeper.
The cat we like to call him. Lloyd also played. And so our shirts went onto eBay. And my shirt was getting bidded on, and mine was going for more than his. And I remember ringing him going, "Yeah, my shirt's going for more than yours, big boy." And then he come up to me, and mine sold for like 200 quid more than his. And then he come up to me on Christmas Eve and chucked a present at me. And I unwrapped it, and bless him, it was Lloyd who was bidding on it with someone else to buy me the shirt because he knew how much I wanted it. So bless him, he'd gone on and he was bidding on it with someone else, and I was taking the Michael out of him for it. And bless him, he bought me the shirt, and I've still got that shirt now. It's next to me. I was going to show you, but yeah, so I've got that shirt, and every time, just with it, you know, it's just such a beautiful memory of, you know, walking out into Blundell Park with Craig Disley and all these amazing players that I've grown up watching and loving. And the next thing, I'm eating Domino's in the changing room with them at our time.
None of that pasta nonsense or energy drinks in Grimsby. Good old Domino's pizza. I like it. Do you know, I won the, you know, you've been on Soccer AM loads of times, haven't you, Tomo?
Yeah, yeah. I got my hat-trick ball, Johnny,
So I got a hat-trick ball and I gave it to charity. So it was off being bidded over. Yeah, and I thought myself, I was really nervous that nobody would bid for it. It was on a Cardiff City night. And my mate Di Driscoll went, who was a good pal of mine. I said, "Di, do me a favour. Just bid to get it over like 50 quid or whatever." So anyway, later on that night, I was dead nervous. He texted me and went, "Oh, I didn't go for any money at all." I was like, "Oh, no, you were only joking." And what had happened was Michael Chopra started bidding for it with Di. And Di ended up paying nearly £500 for it. Yeah. So it was a bit like, oh, so anyway, he said he couldn't take it home because his missus would have got really annoyed with him for spending the money So he says the following week he's watching Soccer AM and he's I've still got the ball because he can't see anything. And the Soccer AM find out, they go, "Johnny Owen's ball last week, it's went for the most anybody's ever bid for a ball at the Cardiff City thing. Fantastic. £500. And his missus is watching and she went, "What idiot would pay £500 for a football?" And it was him. He can't say anything. He's gone. "I wouldn't know, love. I wouldn't know." So the following week, I seen him. He went, "You'll have to keep that. I'll have to give the £500. I can't take it home." So I put it back in and it raised another £300. Wow. Altogether, it raised £800 for charity. So Di Driscoll, sorry, bud, your secret's out now. And he misses if he's listening to this. Yeah, so.
I would rather donate £800 out of my bank than sell my Soccer AM ball. It's in my bedroom, and you can imagine Charlotte is like, she's obsessed with the interior design and making everything look nice. So the bedroom looks amazing, and then you've just got this Soccer AM corner, and it's like, that is probably up there with my proudest achievements. You know, I've been very fortunate enough to be nominated for some great awards, and I've won some great awards, British Independent Film Awards, but none of it beats the Soccer AM.
Soccer AM hat-trick ball, Tom, I'm with you.
Knocking your Oscars out the way to get the ball at the front. Yes. That's what it's going to be, isn't it?
And all, and all the lads are watching at home, and it's just such a like, oh, I love Soccer AM. It's such a great show. And then when Lloyd went on to host it,
yes,
I was a bit annoyed they didn't invite me on whilst Lloyd was on there. But that, you know, that's just the way it is. So.
Be too grim, BB.
It's hard to get on it now. You know, I had a film out this year, and I usually get invited
unless
on.
Unless Stephen Graham, and then yeah, he's on it. Every
oh, he's on it all the time, Lee Graham. Fair play to him. And I was a bit like, and they were like, oh, you know, and I was a bit, am I a bit too old now to be on Soccer AM?
not their demographic anymore.
I'm like, oh, sorry.
It's a sad
case. Andrew's always messaging saying, oh, yeah, we'll get you on the show. And I'm like, yeah, you say that. You talk the talk, mate. But, you know, I don't believe you anymore. I don't believe you. I'll just watch it from the sidelines. But, yeah, such a great show. And, yeah, I mean, that, like I say, that Soccer AM ball is... It's one of my proudest achievements. Yeah, I love it.
It's in the bedroom. I love that.
Where it's exactly, and you've done it. So yes. At least you know you've done it at one time. Now, who's your favourite player nowadays? Would you say, Tom?
That's a tough one because there's so much going on at Grimsby Town, and it's difficult. But I mean, we've got a centre half called Matty Pollock, which is very fitting for Grimsby.
Yeah.
So Matty Pollock, I mean, he's a centre half and he's an absolute wall. And he's our top scorer now. He's a centre half and he's our top scorer. I think he's got 5 or 6. But he commands the game from the back. He's very solid. He's very safe. And again, like he follows me on Instagram and I was messaging him yesterday and I'm like, this is mental. Like I've got Matty Pollock messaging me on Instagram. but yeah, I mean, my favourite player at the minute is probably Matty Pollock.
Tomo, could you tell us your favourite ever Grimsby or Manchester United kit? It's up to you.
Again, I've got it out thinking that we was doing a video. I was going to show you it. I'll send you photos of these things, Johnny.
Please,
I'll text
yeah.
you.
Yes.
But I've got the 1993 to 1994 Grimsby Town kit that I got given to me by a friend of mine called James. We was doing a little shoot for the club and he gave it to me because he thought I was born in 93, but I was born in 92. So it's a year after I was born. But just the whole retro look at it and the detail that goes into it. It's, you know, it's got the big baggy sleeves and things like that. It's very, very old school. It's not the kind of kit I can wear for 7-a-side. I can't go and wear that 7-a-side because A, I don't want to ruin it, and B, I think I'd look a bit silly. But it's a beautiful kit. It's nice. The attention to detail on it, it's just amazing. So anyone listening who cares, if you Google the 93 to 94 season Grimsby Town,
yes,
you'll see what I'm on about. But it's a lovely bit. It's all these things that when I become a multimillionaire and I've got a huge house, I'm going to get all these shirts framed or, you know, put them into like into a bar or something like that.
Yeah. In your club room.
Yes. Yes,
exactly. That's where you get all your shirts done there.
Yeah, so I will get them all framed. It's one of them I've been saying that I'll do it for years, but when I've got the space to put them up, I will get them all framed, definitely.
Good man. I was going to say, I do you want to have a little chat about that just quickly, Thomas? Tell us about how you got cast in This Is England. There's some great footage of you as a little kid where they... what was the name of the great casting director? Des, wasn't it?
It's Des Hamilton.
Des Hamilton. He's a great guy. Big Celtic fan, isn't he?
He's off his head.
On his offices, I noticed in East London, he hangs the Irish tricolour with Celtic on it outside the offices.
Really?
Yeah. He's a proper big
Celtic
fan.
Easily found that.
He's a top lad.
He's very, very to the point. If you go in and do an audition for him, and you don't do it to his standard, let's say, he will stop you and he'll go, that was rubbish, you can do better than that. And he's very to the point. He's very honest.
He's a great lad.
And I met Des when I was 13. He was casting for Shane Meadows, who they wanted a young kid who never acted before, who he wanted it to be very real and raw. And Des asked me if I wanted to audition for the film. And I said, well, yeah, but I'm never going to be put in a film. So, like, I want something from this. I want a fiver. So I charged Des a fiver to audition for This in England. Because I never thought I was going to get it. And, well, you know me, Johnny. I'm out to make a quick buck. I'm a hustler. That's what I do. I'm out to make money. So I thought, right, well, I'm going to get me fiver from him. And this audition's available on YouTube.
It is.
So, and then he got my mum's mobile number and he rang my mum and said, well, Tomo, come in and do another audition and meet Shane Meadows. My mum shouted at me and said, oh, them film people are back. They want to know if you'll go do another interview. I said, yeah, I'll do it, but I want a tenner, mum. I want a tenner this time.
Yeah.
So I got my tenner, met Shane Meadows and so on and so forth. And it was like, oh, well, if you need to get in touch with me, Shane, you're going to have to buy me a mobile phone, mate. So I was just, because I never thought I was gonna be put in this film. So I was out to just make a quick book. And then, you know, after a week of meeting the guys, Vicky and Shimmy and Shane and Mark Herbert, I quickly realised that I know, and from a very young age, I knew this is exactly, this was a bit of me. I knew, I fell in love with acting, and I fell in love with the style that Shane works, and the style that we was all able to work together. And I'm not crying, I've got a bit of a cold.
getting all emotional and nostalgic on us here.
Yeah, I know. But Shane Meadows and Stephen Graham and Joe Hartley and all these people, they promised my mum at the rap party, they said, Tomo's not going to go back to Grimsby and be forgotten about. We'll work hard and we'll make sure that he has a strong career, and we'll make sure we make him into a respectable man. And my mum passed away not long after we filmed This Is England. And lo and behold, you know, the first people that was on the motorway down was Shane and Stephen Graham, and everyone came for the funeral. And and these people, I remember my dad used to drive me to Leicester, you know, what every other week, so I can go and stay with Stephen and Hannah. So yeah, I mean, these people just made sure that they've done so much for me on and off screen. And yeah, they've really sort of put everything into making me, you know, the man that I am today. So yeah, I mean, it's, I owe them so much. But yeah,
well, you are 15 quid, Tom, let's be honest. You are 15 quid.
Yeah, I'm just after some more money. Johnny's seen it firsthand. He knows what we're all like.
Yeah, it is a beautiful, beautifully close cast. They're all very close friends. Off the pitch, as they say in football,
right.
as much as on the pitch. And like you're saying, Stephen Graham, Shane, they've been brilliant with you, like you're saying, but you've been brilliant with them as well, and I'm sure they'd be very proud, any mother would, of the man you've turned into, Thomas. You've done great.
That's the aim. But thanks, Donny,
This is the Best 11 podcast from TalkSport.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is the Best 11 podcast with Johnny Owen and Mark Webster.
So, Tomo, here's the big question. People have a choice here. They can either go club or country when they name their best 11, their favourite ever 11 players. Are you going to go Grimsby Town or are you going to go England?
I'm going to go Grimsby Town, obviously, but I'm going to put a couple of ringers in. I'm going to bring a few ringers in from England just so we might
have a chance.
So starting in goal, I'm going to go for James McEwen, who's our club captain at the moment, good friend of mine. And I love who he is and the way that he is with the fans. And I'm going to keep him captain.
Okay.
It would be rude to not have Macca in goal.
Right, James McEwen's in goal.
Then right back. I'm going to go for a 4-3-3.
Okay.
Right back, I'm going to go Grimsby. A very long time ago, we had a loan player called Shalem Logan, who came from Man City.
Right.
And he played at right back. And it was in the winter months, so sort of it was dark, the floodlights was lighting up. And he came to Grimsby, and I think he only played about 7 or 8 games for us. But he was like a class above, and he was the most exciting player I think I've ever seen in the black and white strip. So I'm going to put Shane, and he played it right back, and I think he scored like 4 or 5 goals, and he was doing all these backflips, and he was just like, oh my God. I remember just the excitement that he brought to the game. Whenever he got the ball, it was like, you never knew what he was going to do with it. He was just steaming down the wing with it. So I'm going to put him in there. Or Carl Magne, who was just a safe, solid, solid player. I love Carl. And then at centre-half, I'm going to go for Matty Pollock, the kid who I said is probably my favourite player at the moment.
Yeah.
Along with Rio Ferdinand, I think.
Rio okay. Ferdinand. Love that.
I remember his long time at Grimsby well.
he did well for us. Or Sean Pearson, actually. Ferdinand can stay away. I'm going to go Sean Pearson.
Ferdinand just got dropped another... on right.
For Sean Pearson. It's his team. He can do what he wants.
Sean Pearson. And I feel really guilty if Sean's listening to this. Again, he become a friend of mine from the club. And he was another sort of like Craig Disley. He was just so solid, and the community loved him. And, you know, any sort of thing that was going on, like football presentations and things like that, Sean was always there. He was very much part of the furniture at Blundell Park. So I'm going to keep Sean Pearson there. And left back. It's a tough one, left back. I'm going to bring Ashley Cole in for left back.
Okay.
England legend, Ashley Cole, only because I've just bought Ashley Cole on my FIFA 21 Ultimate Team, and he's solid. So I'm gonna. It's a tough one, left back for Grimsby, and there's probably gonna be hundreds of Grimsby fans that are shouting at me for this because I've forgotten or missed someone out. But left back, I'm gonna go Ashley Cole. He played for England, didn't he? So yeah, we'll have him there.
Okay.
And then in the middle, we're gonna go for the Ginger Pirlo, Craig Disley, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And again, Harry Clifton. Who's at the moment, he's just got so much passion for the club, and his work rate's just second to none.
Love that. Harry Clifton, Craig Disley.
Craig Disley.
Yeah.
And then we need an England powerhouse in there as well to sort of guide us through. Stephen Gerrard.
I love this team.
He did
I can do a sort of a combined one.
You can, mate. You can do whatever you want. This is Grimsby England 11. Yeah, I love it.
Grimsby England 11, yeah. So Stephen Gerrard, I mean, he was just so, like, just his passion for the game, in an England shirt and in a Liverpool shirt.
Doing a great job. Doing a good job up in Rangers now as well, isn't he? Fair play.
He'll be back, won't he, at Liverpool, in charge at some point.
You'd like to think so, he will be. But, I mean, do you want to get rid of Klopp? Klopp is amazing, isn't he? I love him.
I don't
think there's any rush to get rid of him. I'm just saying in 5-10 years' time, you kind of could see it, couldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just also
When he smiles, it makes me smile. I don't know what it is. He's just got such an infectious smile. And I don't know. I'd love to go for a pint with Klopp. I'd love to have a pint with him.
Fair play. Stephen Graham has got into you, haven't he? Huh?
He really has. And then, so the front three.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Charles Vernon. I mean, he recently left as he went to Brighton, I believe. Burton Albion, he went to in League One. And it was so sad that he left. He was with us for 3 or 4 years. He started his career at Derby County. And he was just, when he got the ball recently, he was just so exciting. And yeah, he just made things happen. And then, you know, I think Grimsby Town has just refused to give him a little bit more money, which he deserved so much. And then he went to a league above, and you can't fault players for wanting to better themselves. You can't fault that. But it was such a sad day when he left. Oh my God! So, Vernon on the left for me, and then, I mean, it's Padre Gamond up front for me. He's now at Newport County,
playing well,
and he's just the Irish beauty. I just love him. He gave us such great memories, and I'll never forget when we went to Wembley in the playoff final. I think it was against Bristol when we lost, and Or was it against, is it when we won against Forest Green? Anyway, we was at Wembley. It all rolls into one because you get so steaming, you can't remember. At half time, it was just 15 minutes of chanting, "We've got Amand, Patrick Amand." And he just scored goals for fun. And again, he's become a club legend. But he played for Newport in the same league as us. And he came back recently. Against Grimsby playing for Newport, and he was walking down the tunnel and I poked my head round it because I knew him from when he played here.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, "Please, please don't score." I said, "Whatever you do," because he always scores against us. And I said to him, "You better not score." And he went, "Oh, I'll try not to, mate." And then he came on in the second half and scored again.
Of course he did.
But luckily, we beat him 4-1 or 4-2. But I just remember thinking, I just wanted to, like, stud him. I just wanted to, like, put him out of the game or something, because I was so scared that he was going to come on and score an equaliser or a winner. But fortunately, we managed to pump Newport that day. So Podge up front. And then it's going to have to be Omar Bogle on the left, on the right. Omar Bogle, he came to us from Solihull as part of the Operation Promotion, which was a club thing that got going on. A lot of the fans donated money to try and help with the budget of the players. And we bought in Omar Bogle, and he was just, I mean, he was just fire. He was just, every time he got the ball, he was just scoring for fun. He helped score in the semi-final of the playoffs to take us to the final. And he then went on to, I think Wigan bought him from us for, I think it was 1.2 million quid.
He was quite the big deal up for a couple of seasons, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really, really was. And again, you can't blame the club. I mean, okay, 1.2 million quid is a lot of money for our club. You know, you can't blame him for wanting to take that. Could they afford it to keep him on? I mean, his wage demands must have gone through the roof, because when you've got big teams, and this is when Wigan, you know, they had Will Grigg and they was on fire. So, you know, it was just a matter of which big team wanted, you know, was willing to spend the money on him. And there was no surprise that he left. But there was talk of him coming back recently because his career hasn't gone as well as hoped in the higher leagues. But yeah, I mean, comebacks are always a risky game, aren't they? Because, you know, he's gone off to have this amazing career in Championship football. Is it going to be the same when he comes back? Yeah. You know, no one knows. So, but it wouldn't be, for me, he was one of the most exciting players, and he gave me some great memories. So, yeah.
That was 11.
That's the 11. Yeah. 4-3-3.
So here's the $64,000 question. Who's your manager?
Not Holloway. my manager would be it'd probably be Paul Hurst. Paul Hurst was our manager when he got us promoted from Conference back into League Two. And for me, obviously, because my short career of being a Grimsby Town fan, you know, I started supporting Grimsby, and we got relegated pretty quickly into the non-league.
Yeah.
So when we won, that was the only thing I've ever seen Grimsby win was the playoffs. And put it like that day at Wembley when, you know, we beat Forest Green 3-1, will be one of the best memories I've, you know, I'll remember that day for the rest of my life. And Paul Hurst sort of, he built the squad that got us promoted. And so Paul Hurst would be my manager.
And I imagine Paul Hurst would also give Gerrard and Ashley Cole a game as well.
Yes, he would, I'm sure.
Yeah, I imagine he probably would.
He'd probably play them now, as they are now. I was just going to finish by saying, I don't know if you've ever seen it, Tom, where there's a bit on YouTube, it's really famous. It's a Grimsby goal against Everton in 1984 in Goodison Park. It is well worth anybody looking at. It is, by my estimation, and most people, the greatest celebration in an away end you will ever see in your life.
Really?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
There is one against, we played Liverpool at Anfield, and it was Phil Jevons scored in the Cup, and we beat Liverpool 2-1. And Jevons scored a 45-yard screamer. And that is just a thing of beauty. And again, like you said, Johnny, the videos on YouTube of the crowd, it's just it just went mental.
It's exactly as you say, Tomo. You support a club like Grimsby, and a little moment like that, like a goal at Liverpool or Everton in the Cup, is just...
Cherish that.
Oh, it's just
forever.
Cherish.
We played Chelsea recently. We got pumped 7-1 by them. But Matt Green, who in my opinion he's still here at the moment. Doesn't do it for me. You know, but the managers must see something in him that I don't. This is why I'm not a football manager. I sit at home, you know, with my pants scratching my ass, watching him. So this is why I'm not a manager. But Matt Green scored at Stamford Bridge last year. And it was one of the... If anyone's listening now, Matt Green at Stamford Bridge against Chelsea, we lost 7-1. But the goal was absolutely... It was up for one of the best goals I've ever seen. And yeah, the town fans was losing. The town was losing, but the electric atmosphere, I couldn't go because I was working in Manchester, but the atmosphere just from that one goal, even though we lost by seven, but that one goal was just like, oh my God.
It was worth it just for that goal.
Forget the seven.
Yes.
Yeah. There is this
one. We've scored against Chelsea and we are Grimsby
and I
Town.
To say it, but it is a great goal from Matt Green.
Quite
honestly.
Right, so. Brilliant.
Yeah. Tomo, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, sir.
Be grateful. I look forward to seeing you turning out the Cromie seconds. That's really what I'm
keep us informed. We'll get you back on to talk about Cromwell seconds, okay?
Yeah,
that's if Jeff starts to play me. I hope he's listening.
Jeff, if you're out there, can you pick him?
Sitting on the bench.
Turgos.
Yeah. No, I don't mind it. It's just nice to be involved, you know? It's just nice to be part of the team.
There we go. Hashtag Turgos10. We'll get a trending for you, mate.
Yeah, nice one. Thank you.
The Best 11 podcast from TalkSport.
Thank you for listening to the Best 11 podcast. Don't forget there are new episodes out every Monday and Thursday. So join us for more football memories and another Best 11 very soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.